When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get right to it. Game Time Decisions live on a Tuesday night. Kevin Walsh joined now by Joe Madden as we have playoff hockey about to start off here, Joe, at Madison Square Garden. The Rangers -285 on the money line. Huge price against the Caps. What do you see here for Game 2?
After what we saw in Game 1, the Rangers absolutely deserve to be this big as a favorite. They were able to get that win 4-1. But I do think in Game 2 here, Alex Ovechkin ends up getting on the scoreboard. I'm going to take him for that anytime goal. His anytime goal is coming in at plus 200. You could also look at him for the power play point. That's coming in at plus 240. When we look at Ovechkin in the first game, he was held off the board, and he wasn't able to get those shots on goal. The Rangers had 21 block shots on goal. Five of those were shots Ovechkin was trying to take on the net. You know he's going to come out here frustrated and be looking to find the back of Igor Shesterkin's net. I do think he's able to get there in this one. It was only the fourth time in his whole NHL career in the playoffs that he's been held off not getting those shots. And that's 148 games, you guys. So I do think Ovechkin makes a difference for the Capitals. At the end of the day, I don't think it's enough. I'm going to go with a play that we played in game one as well. The no goals in the first 10 minutes, I do think comes into play in this one. It's plus 106, Kevin.
All right, let's get in the mix there early on. Rangers, Capitals. I laid that puck line the first game. If you made me, I'd actually would take it here. Right? Joe mentions lower scoring hockey. And I played the Rangers in a spot trend wise. Look, the Rangers won 30 games at home. That was not an overabundance of puck lines covered overall. So I'd be cautious on that number, which was a plus in game one and is a minus in game number two. Let's get to Florida, Tampa Bay, Joe. We'll talk McDavid in a couple of moments just because I'm curious what you thought of the performance. But his counterpart in that 100-assist club this season, Nikita Kucherov, the Lightning, and their offense need to pick it up. Do you think they will?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning are a dangerous team and have every opportunity of pulling off the win here. I'm looking at taking them straight up on that money line, but I'm also looking for those fireworks in the first period. Out of both of these teams, I love the over 1.5 in the first period. You're laying light juice at minus 116. We did see it cash in the last game with these teams doing run and gun style hockey right out of the gate, and I think that we get that in this one. Now, you mentioned Nikita Kucherov. He was not able to get a goal in the last game. He did record an assist. With how strong the power play is here for the Tampa Bay Lightning, I'm going to look at him for the power play point in this one. That's coming in at plus 110. When we look at the last game, so highly physical out there between both of these teams, we saw the Tampa Bay Lightning be able to put hits on the Florida Panthers. The Panthers reacting back with 56. Both teams were able to convert once on the power play. So it is crucial for these teams to stay out of that box, play clean, smart hockey out there. But I do think the Lightning have the opportunity to get the win. That first period, look for the fireworks. Take the over 1.5, Kevin.
All right. Now, let's talk Connor McDavid, because we have plenty of time before these other games start. Joe was on the 2+ points And sometimes, right, you hit a bet and it goes really well and you feel great. Other times it goes so well, you're like, man, what am I doing? Like, I was like, why didn't I have 4-plus assists and 5-plus assists? Which is ridiculous to think, but McDavid was so unbelievable in that game. I'm curious what you think that means for him and the Oilers moving forward in this series.
It's not about the Oilers, also not about the Kings. They were paired in that one. Talbot not looking strong enough in that. I love what we saw out of Connor, but in your right, clearing up those player problems, a player like that, even if you put a half a unit on your main bet and then a
grabbing it quickly here, some technical difficulties, which, behind the curtain, surprising. Joe's set up typically pristine. 2 days in a row, sabotage, people are asking. People are asking. I don't blame Joe, I know that much. I believe Joe is back. And Joe, you were talking a little Connor McDavid, Edmonton Oilers, and what do you make of that five-assist performance last night?
Yeah, I think it was absolutely incredible. And he's a player that you do have to look at laddering up when you're betting on him. Putting a half a unit on your original main bet and then laddering the next two levels up, I think, is a really solid way to go, Kevin. I don't know if you'll have as much success in the next game. I think Cam Talbot really has to give his head a shake with what we saw, as well as the defense out of the LA Kings. But if he's going to have success, it's going to be on his home ice in that series. And I do think you look at him again for another strong performance. I'd maybe look at the player points and laddering those.
All right, listen, that performance from McDavid was absolutely phenomenal, so I look forward to game number two. We've got game two for Winnipeg and Colorado. Joe, you told people, be cautious back in Colorado in that opener. So it looks like to me, unless there's some injury news, and I could be naive here, bettors are saying no way Colorado loses again. Minus 125. That's a considerable flip from what we saw for that first game. What do you make here with Avs Winnipeg?
Just disrespectful to the Winnipeg Jets. They were able to come away with the win in the last game. They played phenomenally strong. And you look at the goaltending. These goaltenders are on a different level. Connor Hellebuck in there faced 55 shots on goal from the Colorado Avalanche. And Gorgiev looked terrible out there in net for the Avs. I do think the Avs need to win in a higher scoring battle like we saw in game one. Winnipeg cannot play that style of game again. They're going to get themselves in trouble leaning on a higher scoring one. I'm looking for the Winnipeg Jets here at home to win another game. And I am looking for this one to stay under the 6.5. That is not the style of game that the Winnipeg Jets can come out and play in. And I do think this is a lower scoring one. Now, both teams were physical. Colorado was able to score on their power play opportunities on two of them. Winnipeg was able to score on the one of them as well. But another really physical game out there. You look at Colorado. They had 55 hits on the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets returning 46. It was mayhem out there on the ice. I think we still have some mayhem, but not a high scoring one, Kevin.
And then, Joe, we've got this game between the Predators late night here against the Vancouver Canucks. This is a close line at minus 130 for the home Vancouver squad. 5.5 is the total.
Well, Demko out here for the Vancouver Canucks, and this is not what Vancouver needed in the playoffs. I really do think the Nashville Predators, I liked them before even finding out that Demko would not be in goal. Now without Demko in goal and Casey DeSmith stepping up, well, he's a confident goalie. He's not at the Demko level. I think the Nashville Predators, especially off a loss, will return a favor here and be able to pick up a road win in Vancouver. I'm looking at the Predators with the plus money that you can get on them on the money line, and I do like their team total. Their team total is only set at 2.5. The over 2.5 coming in at minus 118, I think, is a really solid way. This team has so many playmakers on it. I'd look at Philip Forsberg here for the anytime goal. We know Ryan O'Reilly was able to get on the scoreboard in the last one. I do think you have those strength of those players coming out nice and strong. Now, Saros will be in goal for the Nashville Predators, and this team has the ability to lock down Vancouver, and Vancouver's team total is at 3.5. The only problem with that is the juice. It's too juiced at minus 164 to the under. I expect them to stay under that total. I would expect the Preds to win this probably 4-2, the reverse of what we saw when Vancouver got the win the other day.
Now, We mentioned big Oilers result because the McDavid performance is what really stood out to me. But in terms of importance, Toronto beating Boston, Joe, and perhaps the confidence that that gave that team quickly, what did you make of what the Maple Leafs did against the Bruins?
It was a night and day game out there for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We saw them come out with so much drive, so much passion out there on the ice, and they didn't let it get to them when the Boston Bruins were able to put the goals on the board like we saw in that first game. So for Toronto to take it back home, tied up 1-1, I do have some faith in them here.
All right, listen, we're going to continue to break down a lot tonight with the baseball board coming up with Joe Maddon next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We do have some bit of breaking NBA news, which is the Most Improved Player Award has been released, and it goes to Tyrese Maxey. So cash those tickets. I know a lot of people got involved with that market with the James Harden rumors, and they were repaid. Coby White ultimately falls short here, but not by a lot. 319 total voting points for Maxey, 305 for Coby White. Alperen Şengün, had he not been injured, would have been in the mix more. Jalen Brunson, an interesting fifth-place finisher in that race there. All in all, fifth place could be a theme for Jalen Brunson. It is Dinger Tuesday, people. We're hopefully going to be sending Aaron Judge to the plate soon and his plus 265 price. And eventually we will also have Ronald Jr. at bat with his plus 420 price for us on this Dinger Tuesday. Joe Maddon here to break down some baseball. Joe, are you participating in Dinger Tuesday at all here today?
Not today. I don't have anyone I'm liking. You know I'm holding off on Aaron Judge till his birthday on Friday, I will try to take him. I'm not going to be greedy and try to hit him twice this week.
I feel great. This is fantastic, whether he hits the home run or not. You mentioned the Judge birthday thing last week. I said I'll probably just bet him on Dinger Tuesday. I forgot, but clearly burned in the back of my brain was bet Aaron Judge. Fantastic. I feel even better about it. Let's talk some ball here. We've got Royals Blue Jays. Which yesterday we saw Toronto take the opening game. What do you see with another matchup between these squads?
So we're here for the Toronto Jays, sending Kevin Gausman up to the mound.
We're going to do a quick reset there for Joe. Look, if you're a fan of game time decisions, you're gonna have to battle through the elements. And, you know, we apologize for that, but it's momentary. Quick reset, quick refresh. And before you know it, we're back with Joe Maddon breaking down Blue Jays Royals. Joe, if you please.
Okay, so looking at this one, I don't know how much I trust Kevin Gausman coming out here for Toronto. While he looks solid versus the Yankees, I don't know how long he can stay solid, because looking at him overall in the season, he has been picked apart. His ERA is north of 8. And Michael Wacha coming out here for the Royals. I think both of these pitchers spell a recipe of an over in this one. I'm looking for a higher scoring one. Light juice on the over. It's minus 102 to the over 8.5. And that's where I have to go. We know that the Toronto Blue Jays have the ability to get those runs on the board. I think they have that run production today, and the Royals add to it as well, hitting nicely off of Gausman. So give me the over 8.5 in this one, Kevin.
All right, looking for the over there. Joe, we've got the Chicago Cubs at home tonight in an interesting matchup with the Houston Astros, who have been fade material all season for the same.
Yeah, looking at this one, Kevin, I've got to fade the Houston Astros here. The Cubs are a hard team to go against off a loss. They're so strong off of that loss, going 6-2 off a loss, and they are coming off that versus the Mariners. JP France, he has a high ERA. His ERA sitting here at 7.08. I can't trust him, and I do think the Cubs can answer back in this one. We got a home dog in the Cubs at plus 102, and I know the Astros have been able to be strong versus the Cubs. They have won 5 of the last 6 meetings. I don't see it happening in this one. I think this is another game game where we see France struggle. And the really big struggles came in his first game out. And I know he's done better in the last couple. But I tell you, the Cubs off a loss are too dangerous for me. They've also been so strong at home, Kevin.
We've got some late night baseball here involving the Baltimore Orioles, Los Angeles Angels on Gunnar Henderson over 1.5 bases. What are you betting in this game?
I am sorry, Kevin. I didn't hear you. Which game are you talking about?
It's all good. It's a technical disaster here, but we're going to contrive. Can you hear me now?
I might as well check.
Sort of. Less than great.
This is great.
We're going to. Yeah, no, it's going great. Joe, can you tell us about the late night picks you have for the baseball?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at the Baltimore Orioles versus the LA Angels. I am going to play on Grayson Rodriguez here over on his strikeout number. His strikeout number coming in at 6.5. I know it's high at -114, but I do think here versus the Angels, he's going to be able to get this. Now, he did face them in the season debut, coming out being able to strike out 9 Angels batters. And I do think in this one, he is able to have similar production. I don't think he goes quite as high. We did see him get 7 versus the Pirates in his second game out, and he hasn't hit over this in the last 2, but I do expect that production here versus the Angels. Looking at the late game between the Mets and the San Francisco Giants, I love Logan Webb here at home, and I do think the Giants have the ability to be able to get this win. We got to lay the juice with the Giants, and I'm a big fan of looking for some plus money and some other ways to tackle these games. So looking at the first 5 innings, I do think with Severino coming out here for the Mets, we have a lower scoring one. I'm going to take the first 5 innings under 3.5 between the Mets and the Giants at coming in at -106. I would be cautious with the full game, because like I said yesterday, even though that one didn't go over that total, I still don't really trust the Giants bullpen, but huge fan of Logan Webb and Severino to come out strong. And I do think you can look at the Nerfy in this one. You just got to lay the juice on the Nerfy. That's coming in at -145, Kevin, but this should be a great game out there on the diamonds.
Awesome. Awesome. Always, Joe, appreciate the breakdowns. Best of luck with the hockey and the late night baseball.
You too, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Great stuff there from Joe. One update, and what is certainly a major upset on the baseball board, perhaps in this market, the Nationals to score first. Again, the Dodgers a -200 favorite on the road, and ultimately the Nats score on a suicide bunt, it appears. I don't know. And maybe the Nationals just being the – maybe the Nationals will win the World Series. Happy to have weekend warrior number 1, Jesse Winker, from this winning squad. That is the Washington Nationals. Judge at the plate. What if he hits it here? What if he hits it here? But look, could it be? When we come back, we hope it is. We're live on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Sports Grid. Appreciate everybody here sticking with us. Apologize for any of those technical difficulties there. But we're in the mix. We're on the board as well with an Aaron Judge double. I know that is not the dinger that we were hoping for, but it is the 2-plus bases at +105 that we were hoping for. So I'll absolutely take that from Judge in the opening inning here. And it looks like Giancarlo Stanton followed up with a double of his own to bring in both Soto and Judge. So that's good stuff early there. Yes, runs first inning actually cashed on the Athletic side of it all. But nevertheless, let's talk some NFL draft. Let's talk Vikings. Let's talk Broncos. Let's talk Falcons. Let's start with the Minnesota Vikings. This is one of the most interesting numbers. Maybe telling is the more appropriate word. With Minnesota at -250 for the position of their first drafted player. Now, this is an important mark because the distinctions matter, right? We mentioned, you know, the Drake May odds to go third. It's not Drake May to go to New England. It's Drake May to go third. And Drake May could go third, and Minnesota could draft Drake May, and you kind of see how those numbers come into correlation. The Vikings trading up is being priced as a fact. And that's because here's how I see it, right? We've got Caleb at one. Let's go through the odds. Caleb at one, we know the Bears aren't trading. And Jaden Daniels at two, through the odds. And Washington has said they're not trading. New England is willing to trade. We know this. But their reports are now, oh, the offers are laughable. The Patriots need a godfather offer, whatever it might be. But New England is willing to trade at three. Let's say they don't trade at third overall, right? Well, and they take the quarterback in Drake May. Is Minnesota going to select J.J. McCarthy? The market still believes the answer to that is yes. Where? At fourth overall? That would be an upset. The favorite right now is still Marvin Harrison Jr. Would they draft J.J. McCarthy at fifth? It wouldn't be as much of an upset because at fifth, there's nothing but headaches. Or maybe for the betters, unless the books. But it's 2-1 or better on any guy you could possibly touch. Neighbors, Harrison, Alt, J.J. McCarthy. What happens, though, if Minnesota has not moved up to 3, 4, or 5? Well, I'll come to New York Giants at 6. In this scenario, let's say Marvin went off the board at 4 and Neighbors at 5. The Giants at 6 didn't get one of the elite wide receivers. You would argue many, some, that Roma Dunze is a part of that class. But the quarterback and J.J. McCarthy's on the board. And the Giants want, and if Acuna double, 2+ bases, come on, get in here, get in here. We're excited about that. We love to see that. Weekend warrior on a Tuesday. Love that. That's where we're in the mix, people. We can only be in the mix. First inning, that's the way it's done. Basically, I win the MLB play of the day in the first inning or I don't win it at all. That's what I'm seeing these days. Anyway, Minnesota, if this team wants to get a quarterback, unless the Giants are bluffing about being interested in a quarterback drafting sixth, they need to come up to 3, 4, or 5. It's something to keep an eye on, because otherwise, they're going to have to take what, Bo Nix or Penix? That's not happening. It's not. It's not happening. So look for Minnesota to think about trading, and that's going to shift things. That's where that minus 250 number is important. Let's get over to the Denver Broncos. Fascinating. Because Denver's also tied to quarterback. Denver could possibly try and trade up for J.J. McCarthy. Maybe Drake May. That's going to cash your quarterback at plus 190. Nobody believes Denver at 12 is going to sit there and draft Bo Nix or draft Michael Penix Jr. What I'm starting to wonder, and what doesn't seem to be, everyone keeps talking about Denver trading up, right? But Denver doesn't have a lot of draft cap. Why would Denver not trade back multiple times? I know you could say it's easier said than done, but realistically, if you're Sean Payton and you love Bo Nix or Penix, you can't get up there to grab McCarthy or Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Just trade back. Don't draft Dallas Turner at 12 or one of the tackles, Fashanu. That isn't the move, right? Taking Byron Murphy, going out there and drafting Quinyon Mitchell. Wouldn't you just trade back stock picks in that 26, take Bo Nix, then your quarterback, if that's what's available to you? We'll talk about this a little bit. It's a quick break. We're live right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid. Game Time Decisions. Going to talk to Dave Sharapan in a moment. Finishing out the Denver Broncos conversation. The Denver Broncos is potentially interested, right, in quarterback. That's what the odds tell us here. The books are not sure. Could this team trade up? A lot of people think it's J.J. McCarthy. When we're talking trade up, we're always talking about going for quarterback. There's another spot where we could see trades. Let's look at the Atlanta Falcons. But it's not just the Falcons, right? It's, in fact, not the Falcons. It's number 8 overall. What the books have here is basically now this battle. between Latu at plus 250 and Dallas Turner at plus 250. What's happening is the Falcons are being linked to Latu. A defensive coach on their staff was with Latu at Washington, and that is leading to his name growing in the market. Dallas Turner sits there because he had been mocked to Atlanta for so long, and a lot of odds in him favored to be the first defensive player taken off of the board. But if you're the Falcons, are you sitting here at 8? Because this third name here, and it would be a losing bet for me, Roma Dunze, if he's available, they're getting phone calls from the Bears at 9, the Jets at 10, the Colts are giving a phone call at 15, Jags might give him a call at 17, Buffalo Bills want to go nuts, I doubt it. Do they get up from 28? Probably not. But the point is, if you're the Falcons and you want an edge rusher, the overall consensus of this draft is you have time to take that player, and you would be passing up on BPA. That's what, and by the way, this J.J. McCarthy number is not here because they think he'd be a good backup to Kirk Cousins. That's also, okay, J.J.'s floor is 8, because that call's coming in from Minnesota to get up to 8 to get J.J. McCarthy. And that's kind of the stuff that we talk about with these betting markets right now and why they do not have it listed as who Falcons take is 8. Because to some degree, they could book that and then they'd pay out nothing and everybody would push or void because the Falcons don't select at 8th. And this is something that we've talked about with Dave Sharapan and why this draft betting stuff is always, Dave, tricky waters to try and swim in, because we're all trying to bet on information, and then one domino falls, and all that information becomes outdated.
Yeah, exactly what you said. It's changes day to day. Thursday can't come soon enough. You and the boys will hold it down on the show, and the books will be closing. The books in Nevada close the draft betting tomorrow. There's no betting on the draft on the day of the draft. So you have to get all your bets in Nevada on Wednesday, you know, so you can get it done and nobody can walk in with a bag full of money, which has happened. I've been at the counter when someone came in and said, I want to bet $10,000 on, I forget who it was, to be the second pick in the draft. And I said, that would be great. I'd love to take it. The market's closed. So you guys will have a field day back east and in other parts of the world. But in Nevada, the stipulation with the gaming control board was you can take bets on the draft, but you can't do it on the day of the draft. So you want to talk about markets, fluidity, things like that, Thursday should be fun.
But now, is that, Dave, protection for the books on Thursday? What would the reason for that be?
I think a couple years drawn out process with the gaming control board meetings as to why nobody could understand why anybody would want to take bets on the draft. And the gaming control board was like, hold on here. What do you guys want to do? Why would you even want to do this? Presenting both sides of the argument. The book said, well, people have been asking, you know, and we want to take bets on stuff that people ask about, so we should do it. And we did it, but the middle ground was, okay, you can take bets on it, but you can't do it on the day of the draft. So, like I said, the markets close Wednesday night. It's led to some contentious discussions at counters throughout Las Vegas, myself included. I wished we could take people's bets. I mean, I was trying to help the book and say, like, this is not even going to win. We should definitely take this bet. It didn't matter. Nothing could open back up. So little protection, I think, for both sides, K-Dub.
I think that's really interesting. I think if told people they could only bet the draft up until Wednesday, it would be less popular, because there's information that's going to come out Thursday that's going to make the difference.
Just yes. Kidding,
right? You know, if you can be patient enough, when Paolo Bancaro went first, Woj tipped the pick while the markets were up. Like, full tip the pick, right before, though. Not like 4 hours earlier in the day. like 4 minutes before the markets closed. And those things went bing, 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 unbettable, off board. Adam Silver here with the first pick. Yeah, it was a wild move. It really was.
Yeah.
So I think that's very interesting. But here's what I've always said to people. So people ask me, Dave asks me this sometimes. He does it tongue-in-cheek, though. Knows the answer. Can you bet on wrestling? Because everyone knows I'm a wrestling fan. Can't, right? Here. Overseas, you can, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people go,
"Yep.
How could you bet on wrestling? People know, like, don't they know who's going to win? Is betting on wrestling that different from betting on the NFL draft?" No.
In some regards,
I
no.
I don't think it is.
In some regards, it's not at all different. But in other regards, it's a little bit different because as much as you, me, other wrestling fans might want, you know, prestigious news organizations reporting on it, it's not. It's not nearly as mainstream as this. So that's the difference. There's guys with huge followings on huge platforms talking about how many quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first round. They're not talking about, you know, AEW or WWE.
Not at all.
At all.
They have partnerships. You know, we've talked to Tony Khan here on this network.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that conversation happened is because they have a partnership with DraftKings. You watch their pay-per-view on Sunday. There's a big DraftKings logo there. You can get in the pools, right? And that's kind of a different way to be involved. I think one of the reasons is what Dave says. There's not enough demand. I think it's also the difference is one person basically controls all the results of the bet, right?
Right.
Where the Bears control the result of the first bet, and then the Commanders control the result of the second bet. So
correct.
It's not so solely dictated in that. But since we're talking about the differences, right, between betting out there and betting here, Vegas online, you know, sports betting here, I was telling you, Dave, that there is a big discrepancy between FanDuel and DraftKings, and this always interests me when this happens because these are the two market leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So their numbers are not always the same, but when you know you're not going to get a team laying six on one book and catching two on another, right? Obviously, you're never going to get anything like that. But sometimes you can get these series props for basketball. And this was true last year, and it's true this year. And it looks like one book is offering an odds boost. Knicks Sixers series leader prices. Joel Embiid minus 240. Tyrese Maxey plus 330, Jalen Brunson plus 475. That's at one book. At another book, Embiid minus 175. It's a bit shorter. Tyrese Maxey plus 190. That's almost half. Jalen Brunson plus 850. Whoa, that's an odds boost. Or the other number's awful, but that's a huge discrepancy. I don't want to cut you short, Dave, so I want to get your take on that on the other side because I know sometimes for me as a bettor, I think, oh my gosh, what value I'm getting on Brunson.
Right.
Maybe the answer is, no, one Brunson number's good, and the other's the worst number you've ever seen.
Correct.
But we're going to try and talk through that a little bit and get you some updates on the live board. It's Kevin Walsh joined by Dave Schauerpan live on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live and right here, it's Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh, and we are with Dave Schauerpan, and I asked him the question about a disparity between the two top books in the same market. I think it's interesting. I think it's fascinating. And I think for myself, something that I attempted to learn early on when I was betting is sometimes I would see a book gap and I would think the better number was a gift. The shorter number was accurate and the better number was a gift. I think I've learned a little bit more that the long number might be accurate and the short number is just a bad number that you should ignore. So, Dave, I mentioned, and I think the reason I'm kind of hyper-focused on total points is we're not dealing with – I'm not throwing Dave an obscure NFL draft prop. I'm throwing Dave an NBA playoff market that involves Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and Jalen Brunson.
Yes.
The three superstars in this series, and one book has double the number on Brunson, And I'm just curious what you think when you see something like that.
Well, my first thought was this. So we got to see the number of options available. Both have four, but the fourth option isn't really an option. It's a token. You know, maybe somebody will bet this and we'll grab a couple bucks, because Hart at 80 and DiVincenzo at 100 are just to keep the market open with the fourth option. Now, the other three, one of those three is going to win. One of those three is going to, you know, have the most points in the series. What a series it's been, by the way. That's a whole nother discussion. So the book that has the bigger favorite, they took a bet on that, and they need the bet on the other one. Now, that total points one, the price on Brunson is either, like you said before, really right or really wrong, because it's that far off. Now, this is a great exercise in the way it used to be. When it was just Vegas and you had books, say, down on Fremont Street, or you could hop from book to book to book in on the strip, you had vastly different prices. The homogenization of the lines is not a good thing, in my opinion, because I would book everything without the screen, because that's the way I learned the business. I don't need the screen, and I don't need to see anybody else's prices. I'm booking my book, and I'm booking my prices. And if my price is way off, come and bet it with me, or go bet it with them. That's what I would usually say to people. Now you're able to comparison shop. The Arbor guys open up, you know, all the math guys open up, different opportunities. Leaves yourself options. You can put yourself in a position to earn a little or earn a lot, depending on the result. You said it as well. These markets are hard to price. There's no master's level course you could go to. You can't go to Iona. You can't go to Penn State and learn how to do this. You kind of got to figure it out on the fly. So there's a lot of people doing it that are probably, I don't want to say vastly underqualified, but they're just making it up as they go. I say nobody knows Squadoosh all the time. I mean it in a lot of regards. There's a lot of prices that are off. Now, it may be off compared to the other joint, but it's perfect for ours. Who do you like in that, by the way? Does Brunson have a shot to win it? I mean, I'm getting interested in this plus 850.
I've been waiting for the Brunson number. Now, so here's the funny thing. And this sometimes where books, I wanted the Brunson number before game two. They would have got me in at like 2-1, right? And then I would be sitting on an awful number. They didn't post it. They waited for two games, and now they feel like everyone's going to play is the big thing, I think, for the book. They're like, all right, Embiid's playing, okay? And I think that's where the confidence came to book the number. Let me give people the context in case they're – so we're two games in, right? And here, this is the other thing, and this is important. It's most points. If Embiid missed a game, he's basically done.
Right.
Because it's not points per game. Embiid is at 63. Brunson's at 46. Maxey's up top at 68 right now. So Brunson trails Embiid the favorite by 17 and Maxey the second choice by 22.
The problem now, and the price may have someone in the room, me and you talking this through, I'm just talking, why would the Brunson price be so much higher now than it was before? What if it's a short series? What if we're only going four or five games,
right,
which is now a possibility? If they split, we know we're going longer. So I don't think you see the price disparity. But, I mean, they got a 20-point lead, both of the Philly guys. So now you have to go get the money on Brunson. I kind of agree with that higher price. So, I mean, it looks like Embiid's going to play every game. Maxey should play every game. It's going to be tough for Brunson to catch him unless he puts up a 40-burger, right?
Which I just looked is up, is 7-1. He puts up 40.
Oh, boy.
If he puts up 40, I think the question – but here's the thing, right? So if he puts up 40, you'll say, I could have just bet the 7-1 and be done with it. Okay, but if he puts up 38, how do you feel? Right?
Right.
Now the answer is what the other guys do. Brunson's been bad. The other two have been pretty good. Law of averages, would suggest he could beat out both of these guys by 10-plus next game. If he does, you'll have done good work with 850. I think the tempting thing with Brunson is, could you get Maxey out of here in game three? And then you play 850 off the Embiid number, if you're willing to play like that, right? Now, I wouldn't do that now, because the thing Maxey has going for him is 44 minutes a night.
Right.
I talked about that when I talked about, I have a Maxey 6-1 to lead the series in assists, which they would pay out if they paid it out after two games. We don't work that way. We still got a little legwork here.
Yeah.
But Maxey all of a sudden is now playing an outrageous amount of minutes. Their season's on the line, and they're at home. Unless, I think to Dave's point, you know what, Dave? It's not just if it goes long. We get a blowout. Even if it
there
goes,
you go.
What if Philly smokes them and you don't get enough minutes of work? It becomes very interesting. Now, the other day I said Dave was going to leave, and then Dave goes, no, I'm not leaving. I got to give him the baseball play. And he's got Rangers gear on. I didn't ask him a thing about hockey. So Dave goes nowhere. We will get the people in the mix with the NBA, the best bet as well. Game time decision is right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Have we seen points yet? We have for Phoenix. It started out 8-0 Minnesota. By the way, it's been a fun little start to that baseball board there. Judge and Acuna Jr., 2+ bases each. There's a nice little early lead going on as well for Cincinnati. Dave, let me ask you, MLB, do you have a play of the day? You mentioned, I think, yesterday, Blue Jays Royals, that under the wind kind of forcing the number up a little bit. What would you look for today?
The Cubs game, incredible line movement and stuff today with the total. You know, apparently wind's blowing out. The whole world knows. The line steamed up almost. They moved the number rather than the juice. This morning it was 10, then 10.5. In-game number's 11.5. Everybody relax on the wind. I think it stays under. I like Webb against the Mets tonight in baseball. I'm donning the Ranger stuff because I'm all caught up in this Ranger thing. I think they win tonight. I really am. Listen, I got some self-interest, you know what I'm saying, in my pocket that would be that the Rangers get to the Eastern Conference Finals and really open up some possibilities of me coming there, picking you up, maybe Sam, maybe Jack, everybody going to the hockey game on me. We'll have the money. It'll be fine. Yeah. So, Rangers tonight. Get it done.
Okay. They're up early 2-1. Panthers up 1-0 on Tampa. As much as I got, I will get to the NBA in just a moment for people, but McDavid last night. I think McDavid could be on a mission going into the postseason.
Oh.
I was on his 2+ points last night. He goes for 5 assists. But here's what happens. When someone does something like that, you go, see, I knew it. Oilers might not lose a game in the playoffs. What do you think of Edmonton right now?
They win in 5, max 6.
Okay.
It's a bad matchup for the Kings. They're not going to be able to keep up. They may win one home game. Might be the gentleman's sweep. Enjoy the McDavid prop while it lasts his first round. Things are going to tighten up in the second round. Talk to you later. Close it strong.
Great stuff there from Consig. That number was -110 game 1. Let's see what they do game number 2. Speaking of superstars and their props, Luka, the Don, is in action tonight, and we know points, rebounds, and assists for Luka always catches the attention. His numbers tonight, 33.5, 9.5, 9.5. You could get involved with the triple-double if you would like. Here is what we've seen from Luka this season against the Clippers. Luka really made his hay against this Clippers team with the buckets. But I think the scoring from Luka comes in the fourth tonight. Doncic needs to bounce back specifically in the assists category. Only 6 in game number 1, despite playing 40 minutes. 22 games with 40 or more minutes in the regular season, 19 of 22. He went over 9.5 assists, and we're catching it at a plus price. My favorite bet on that NBA board would be Luka Doncic over 9.5 assists. By the way, some big news for this game. Kawhi is expected to play. It's a surprise. Here's the thing, though. Play how many minutes? And truly, I would, and I haven't seen them yet, and if I make a play, you know I'll send it out to you at the Kevin Walsh. I would probably play Kawhi over. The Kawhi stuff is so crazy, you might think, oh, he's going to come back and play 20 minutes. If the books book it like that, the odds makers price Kawhi as 25 or less minutes, I'd probably shoot it over and take my chances. One of two things happen. Wildly efficient night, he goes full postseason minutes. That second one is liver than you would actually imagine. Kawhi coming back and playing 38 tonight would not shock me. Because if he's going to play, you'd imagine he's there for the legitimate long haul. Keep tabs on that. The other NBA pick that has not started yet from me is a first quarter rebounds prop at plus 100 for Damian Lillard over. It might sound wonky. It's not. It's been consistent cash. Game one, he plays all 12 minutes, three boards. How about nine regular season games without Giannis? And seven of the nine, he went over this prop at a plus 100. I think we have a little hidden gem here on Damian Lillard with his first quarter rebounds. Baseball plays remaining. What do we have for the people? Gunnar Henderson over the 1.5 total bags. Pete Alonso under the 1.5 hit runs RBIs. And Rangers money line and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for a run scored. Not bad. Remembered it all. Not mad at that. Dinger Tuesday, by the way. Judge and Acuna is what we're waiting on. Two homers in that Yanks game, which is nice to see. Acuna Jr. and Judge were also two-plus bases props. They did pay the people. The next time I see you, it'll be draft day. Johnny Manziel. See you then.